This episode of Watch What Crappens is brought to you by Gamefly. Go to gamefly.com/haha for your free 15-day trial. It's not even my birthday. But he wanna lick the icing off. The icing off. He want that. Hey everyone, it's Watch What Crappens, a weekly podcast devoted to all things Bravo, and I am Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com, and joining me as always are my trusty co-hosts, Matt Whitfield from Yahoo. Hi Matt.
Hello Ben.
Hello. And also Ronnie Karam from TVgasm.com. What's up,
hey,
Ronnie?
Hey everybody, what's up?
What's up? I'm feeling like a game show host today. I feel like I've got an extra kick in my speech a little bit. And maybe it's because there was so much stuff on TV, on Bravo specifically this week, and we have so much to cover. We're going to talk about OC, we're going to talk about New Jersey, New York, we'll touch on Tardy for the Party, million dollar listing, some gossip, and let's just jump.
Hello, it's called Tardy for the Wedding.
I'm sorry. Well, we could talk about the song too, right?
Well, we can 2 years later.
I'm amped up like crazy, which is funny because before the show started, I was very low energy, but I think somehow a switch turned on in me. And let's get right into the gossip. The gossip that I read just today is that there's a new Twitter account out there in the Twitterverse called Bring Back Jill Z.
And it's by Bobby.
And yeah, the question is this. It's supposedly by a fan who wishes to enact the boycott that Jill Zarin suggested last week. Do we think this is a fan or Jill Zarin?
I think the fan's name is Jill Zarin.
She is her biggest fan, I think.
She is.
Here are some of the tweets from Bring Back Jill Z from 8 hours ago. Please follow me and spread the word. We want Jill Zarin back on RHONY. There's also, there are a bunch of retweets like, yes, this show is so lame these days. I miss Bethany, Crazy Kelly, Jill, and Alex. The new girls are just horrible, except Aviva. We like her. And it just goes on. Love
you,
Jill.
This is why you should never have Twitter on during a show. I'm staring at this now, obsessed, and thinking, how many freaking fake accounts does this bitch have? Because there is this Bring Back Jill Z. There's all these people writing the same tweets over, like the same PR tweets over and over again.
Yeah.
Jill Zarin.
Thanks for the retweet, Jill. Love you, want you back, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And by the way, one of the 26 followers is, I believe it's Ginger, Jill's dog. So that's kind of a tell.
Is Zarin Fabrics following them too?
I haven't looked, but the real Ginger Zarin is following, and I'm sure
Zarin Fabrics is following it too.
Does Zarin Fabrics have a Twitter account?
Don't look. Stop looking.
Look away from the Zarin Twitter tweets.
It says, oh my God, people are listening. Look at this website. Now I'm looking. Fan launches Twitter campaign to bring Jill Zarin back to Real Housewives New York. Will it work? Oh God, they're falling for it.
But you know, we are, of course, just driving more traffic to that Twitter account right now. But you know,
well, good. Maybe our people can go on and write some rude, hateful things. Well, go on, people. We believe in you.
Here's the other thing. Guess what? She's not coming back. Bravo hates her.
Yeah, she is not coming back. Andy Cohen doesn't even follow her anymore. I know one person who will be more than happy to talk some shit to We Want Jill Zarin Back. And I think that's probably blocked by Jill Zarin, that Twitter account, who was so lovely to give our podcast a whole bunch of Twitter love the other day. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, I love her. I'm going to write right now on her account. Is blocked by... Wait, what is her name?
Blocked by Jill Zarin.
Yeah, but what's this new girl's name? Bring Back Jill Zarin. Is blocked by Bring Back Jill Zarin too long of a Twitter handle?
Blocked. I want to be on the Blocked by Ginger Zarin list. Then you know you've done something real bad if you made a fake dog angry. I think actually Ginger Zarin follows me. Don't quote me on that, though, even though I know you're dying to. Matt, you had a fun piece of gossip, didn't you?
Well, I don't think miscarriaging or miscarrying is fun. But
sounds like the new Bravo show. It'll be the spinoff to Misadvised Miscarriage.
I'll see you in hell.
I'm cracking myself up.
I will see you in hell. Anyway, I just wanted to bring up, because, you know, I've been, like, so anti-Bethany for the past few weeks, like, you know, falling from grace. You know, I was her biggest fan, and now I'm, like, a big old hater because of this stupid-ass talk show she has. I just wanted to mention that I think it's really kind of incredibly tacky that this week she started to talk about her miscarriage in depth on that show. Yes, I understand she's trying to connect with her viewers, but, you know, in the era of Facebook and Twitter and talk shows and all this craziness, like, isn't there a line? Don't we just say, like...
No, I'm sorry, Matt. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm
Look, I know she's peed in a bucket on TV, but I'm sorry.
That's what I'm telling you about. She crossed that line when she peed on TV and had no qualms about it.
Yeah, okay, Facebook and Twitter have officially obliterated that line. I have a friend who posted on Facebook about having a baby, like one of those miscarriages that you're actually pregnant outside of your egg or something, like you're pregnant inside of some tube. I don't know the vaginal wall, sorry, but she's pregnant like inside of some kind of tube and the baby starts growing in this tube.
Oh, the fallopian tube, yeah, those are bad. Those can kill you.
It sounds like
Yeah, and she just talks about it over drinks, like, oh, my God, when I was pregnant in my tube outside of my thing, oh, what a day.
She's like, my UTI. Really?
I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I think it's tacky when people post about death on Facebook, and I think it's tacky to talk about miscarrying on a talk show. That's just my opinion. Move on.
Well, speaking of Bethany, Amy Phillips, who is a comedian and an impersonator, who was on Housewife Hoedown with us back when we had Housewife Hoedown. And
we love her. Beautiful and talented and hilarious.
Yes, and we've been trying to get her onto this podcast. Our schedules have just not worked out. She was a guest bartender on Watch What Happens on Monday. And I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but they showed a clip of her doing her Bethany impersonation. And it was spot on. I think it was almost better than her famous Rachel Zoe impersonation. Did any of you guys see her?
Yeah, of course. I'm obsessed. And I actually do think that her Ramona Singer impression is better than the Rachel Zoe.
Yeah, her Ramona impersonation has gotten better. So, you know, just want to give Amy a shout out, and good for her, and good for her for bringing some true comedy to Watch What Happens.
Yeah, I don't watch. I can't do that.
Andy needs all the help he can get.
And by the way, Andy was looking super tantastic. I saw in the I was watching Real Housewives of Orange County last night, and this will be a perfect segue. When he was doing his interstitials for Watch What Happens, he looked like he had fallen asleep in a tanning bed. He looked like Paris Hilton's publicist, who, if you've ever seen him, he looks like a carrot.
That's what happens when you hook up with Madison from Million Dollar Listing LA and hang out by the pool in the Boo.
Yeah. Oh, really? I just assumed he was out at Fire Island all weekend.
Or that.
Yeah. And I don't even mean that as a joke. I just assumed he was at Fire Island.
I don't know. I mean, ever since I said that last week, I don't know if that can be true because, you know, the famous saying, two bottoms don't make a top. It just the whole week I've been trying to do the math on that couple.
I literally just clutched my pearls.
Well, you know, maybe one of them, maybe they had like a toy to help things out, or I don't know.
Oh, my God. You people are educating.
Let's talk about miscarriages. Miscarriages.
Let's talk about double-ended dildos and miscarriages. Welcome to the show.
Excuse me. We would never say double-ended, the D word.
No.
How dare you?
Please. Well,
I'm just as bad as Bethany, clearly.
It's a shock misspelling French class when you have a French count as a father.
This is a famous – I mean, this is a very famous, nice show, all right? We don't talk like that.
Zuta, so
for all two women who are still listening to us, they haven't gone running for the hills. let's go talk about Real Housewives of Orange County, part one of the two-part finale.
And we have
to start with the Great Bo Scandal of 2012. Was this, to me, this is like the epitome of what's great about reality TV. Something totally petty, yet it creates a huge drama, and a drama that you sort of like feel yourself like getting involved in. Like, you sort of are like, you know, like, she did eat that bow, and that's totally fucked up. I mean, I'm assuming you guys feel the same way.
Oh, poor Ben. Put it up over there, Ben. Jesus. God. Grow a pair, buddy.
You weren't caught up in Bogate?
I was. Here's why I was cheering. Finally, Heather earned her spot on the show.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
No, and I knew that would make you furious, but Come on, give the woman some credit. Yeah. She was so furious over that stupid, stupid thing. I mean, who cares?
I would be annoyed. I would not have confronted her, though. But then again, I don't think she wanted to. I think it was Tamara who just, of course, Tamara White Trash Tamara, just pulled stupid white trashier Sarah into the mix and was like, did you read that, Bo? But
well, what do you expect from Tamasu?
Tamasu. All I gotta say is Heather had probably the best line of the season, which she delivered, like, I think it was pretty much in the same style as the opening words in Baby Got Back, where she just goes, Sarah broke the bow off my cake and ate it. Like, to me, that's like one of the greatest housewife quotes instantly.
I thought the best line, but unfortunately the editors kind of fucked up by putting a little music and sound effects over it. But the best part was when she said, here's an Oreo. And she handed her, she goes, Sarah ate part of the bow because she has a sugar problem. She's got to have sugar. And so Heather went and got her an Oreo. And she's like, here's an Oreo. And then Sarah actually started twisting it apart like she was going to eat the fucking Oreo.
Well,
like,
it was a free Oreo.
It was
not?
A perfect ad for Oreos. I mean,
so if you have a psycho bitch who claims she has a diabetes issue, just give her an Oreo.
But I love how all of the wives surrounded her and just started berating her about class.
I know.
That was the funniest part. Like, you're all wearing fake furs and mini skirts.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it was like 90 degrees out, probably. We'll get to the fur in 1 second. I want to talk about Sarah some more here, which is, first of all, like, what type of RV do we think that she lives in, okay? Do we think it's a Winnebago? Do we think it's an Airstream? Because this girl is true trash. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, she's total. Well, they're all total trash. She's dating the 70-year-old, right? So I don't think she's in a trailer home. I think she's living in a nice little studio apartment with a colostomy bag and a...
But she's that special brand of trash that's like boozy trash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but let's be honest. That was Gretchen 3 years ago.
Gretchen wasn't boozy, though.
Yes, she was. Don't you remember when she almost fucked Tamara's son?
Oh, yeah.
And she was also a lot fatter, too.
Oh, well, there you go.
Spoken like a true person on a paleo diet.
Yeah, exactly. She was fatter.
She was fat. Matt, have you lost so much weight that now you see people on crosswalks and think to yourself, fat bitch?
Pretty much. Like, my goal by the end of this is to have the pony-like legs of Heather Dubrow.
Well, one thing that idiot girl, Sarah or whatever, had right was when she said, what is with Heather's face? I can't even tell what she's thinking. I mean, just because you can have Botox every day doesn't mean that you should.
Well, you know, it must be so Sarah for Scarab, because she's not only seeing one of Heather's face, she's seeing two of them at any given time. And that's just like twice. That's like twice the danger right there. Do we want to see more of Sarah, or do we think she's just a drunken bitch?
She's just too much of a mess. There's no point in her being there. I mean, she can't look. But here's the thing: like, she's so dumb. And don't get me wrong; like, they're all so dumb, especially Alexis. But like, she's not going to be able to fight properly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's like fighting with my mom at the end of a really long canasta game. Hey, Mom, why'd you call me? I didn't call you. Why'd you call me? I didn't. Why'd you call me? I didn't. Why'd you call me? Hey, Ronnie, why'd you call me?
Does your mom also like to break bows off of very fancy cakes?
She broke them? Well, one time we were at a restaurant and she got drunk and she didn't like her suit, so she threw it on the ground. So I guess she probably would be along those lines.
She sounds like she fit right in with this cast.
Yeah, she needs to move. She's always wanted to be on TV.
I was really frustrated by Sarah's defense. I mean, I enjoyed it as a fan because it just was making all the other women so mad. But when she's just like, it's just a bow. I mean, get over it. It's just a bow.
Well, it was awesome when she goes, I'm sorry about the bow. Get over it.
I'll buy you a new cake, as if Sarah had the money to buy one tier of
this. I'll give you my credit card number.
Which means she would give like her old boyfriend's Chevron card. Like, here you go.
She's like, here's my Diners Club card.
Here's my Ralph's card. I want points on that cake. So let's talk about Gina, you guys.
Yeah, she's back.
She is my all-time favorite.
Well, you're in luck because now there are two Ginas, because Kara looks exactly like Gina now. Something happened.
She does.
It was she got her lips and face and cheeks and hair and everything did. But, you know, when they showed up, I thought, you know, we saw that they were going to show up in the preview from the from the previous week. But I really didn't realize that she didn't know Heather or Terry, that she showed up as the guests of Gretchen and Slade.
She totally Jill Zarin'd that. You know what I'm saying?
She did, and then she also was trying to Sarah it by starting a fight with somebody and just not letting it drop.
I was personally amused by the fact that they walked in as if they were going to the Oscars. They were wearing, like, floor-length gowns, you know? I think they were, like, waiting for the paparazzi, looking for Angelina Jolie somewhere.
Look, we have to admit, there is, like, the best part of OC. And sometimes, you know, these seasons run off the rails and they get kind of boring at times. Nobody does season-ending crazy motherfucking parties like Orange County.
I agree 100% on that. I think I even tweeted that last night. More specifically, I said, no one knows how to close out a season like Tamara Barney, because that bitch knows how to rise to the challenge, and she will next week, it looks like.
I mean, the only thing that was missing was Lori wearing Quinn in a busted wig, and Tammy Knickerbocker doing lines off of, like, a picnic table.
Okay, so we gotta talk about some fashion things, okay? First of all, Kara and her poncho, was that funny or was that just tacky and obnoxious?
I thought it was funny.
Kara.
It's Gina's daughter.
The only one wearing a poncho. Oh.
You know, when I saw her, I just felt bad for straight people. Because you know how when you date and they say, be careful, the girl's going to turn into her mother. I was like, that girl, how do Vicky and Brianna find anyone to have sex with? Because every time I looked at her, I thought, ew, you're going to be driving and she's going to have her arm up on that handrest thing and arm flab's gonna hit you in the face and give you a black eye on the way to the freeway entrance. Ow, sorry, Bueller's eating my shoe.
Bueller is Ronnie's dog. By the way, speaking of other fashion choices, what about Slade and his black turtleneck? I mean, look, as much as we bash Slade, he's generally a good-looking guy, but this he could
not really, anymore.
He could not.
He entered Matlock territory a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the hair is getting too long and like, poofy and stiff, and it's just like I miss Trump him song. From – yeah, I mean, he was good during, you know, season 1 and 2 with Joe when he was wearing, like, athletic gear. But his hair getting gray – like, a lot of people look good with gray hair, and you better think that I do. But he going gray, not good.
Yeah,
I think he sleeps on his face. I think he's one of those people that, like, maybe sleeps on his side because half his face is kind of wonky now. Like, one eye is always a little bit more closed than the other. I have that. It's from sleeping on my side.
Well, do you ever wear black turtlenecks? Because that really only exacerbates the problem in my book.
Nobody should wear black turtlenecks except for Mike Myers when he's being Dieter on Saturday Night Live.
I think the only people who are allowed to wear black turtlenecks are German assassins, okay? Which is similar to Dieter, you know?
Exactly.
And you should have like a black jacket, like a leather jacket over it, and maybe like a little cap. And then you should shoot someone, and then you go away. And before anyone can comment, you're gone.
With a silencer.
Exactly. But Slade was just like, I think he was trying to look intelligent because he's going to the Dubrow's house. Which, by the way, I'd also like to mention, everyone loves this house and they walk into it. To me, it looks like the coldest piece of real estate in Orange County. It looks so lacking in emotion. Is that just me?
Hello. Heather is the ice queen. That's so true. What did you expect? I mean, there's probably a fucking frozen rink under those tiles.
And speaking of cold things, let's get back to Vicky's fur coat, which I'm pretty much convinced that she has not gotten out of it since she put it on. She was so proud of that thing around her.
I love that everybody she showed it to called thinks that she bought it for herself.
Yeah. By the way, and speaking of classless, how about Vicky going around telling everyone that Brooks bought it for her? I mean, really.
Look what Brooks bought me.
And it was like, it looked like it was like 80 degrees out.
Yeah, people were in California.
Like, all the women were like in sleeveless dresses. I mean, Alexis had like one shoulder exposed, and she's sitting there like an Eskimo in her.
Have you guys ever seen that documentary called Pimp Up, Ho Down?
Yes, I actually have.
It was a very popular documentary that came out a few years ago, but they have a hookers ball, and it's the one year where all the hookers and pimps, like, it's like hooker prom, you know? Like, they get really dressed up, and that's how they dress, like these women. They're fake furs that are down to the floor with a little mini skirt and bikini top. Like, what the hell are these people doing?
I wish I had a good answer for that. I just thought it was funny how she just prayed around that and that ugly black fur. I mean, look,
can we take a second, though? Because they all showed up in fur coats, and I don't know if I'm the only one here. Sorry to get all political for a second, but fur is fucking disgusting, and they should all die.
Well, says the man on the paleo diet, eating animals every single day.
I only eat fish because I could
really?
Kill a fish.
Oh, really? Then what are you doing on this podcast? Oh!
That was really good.
Well, I have to say, I think the other girls were actually in fake fur, and I think that Vicky was in real fur. And actually, I was thinking that she could get angry letters.
Vicky can afford to buy her own real fur. Gretchen can't.
Well, except that Vicky hasn't bought herself a fur yet.
Oh, yeah, that was totally by Brooks. But Vicky's fur isn't, like, fashionable and fun. Yeah. You know, the other girls' furs were at least fun. Hers is, like, that fur that cartoon old lady who hits people with her purse wears.
Yeah. It was, like, that old lady in Fish Called Wanda.
It was very matronly. It was not doing her any favors.
I think of a fur coat you want. I like a long fur coat. Like, I think a woman in a long fur coat, that's, like, more, like, luxurious or sexy. Or you do something funky like the other girls. They're silly ones. But, yeah, it was matronly. I take issue with that.
H only.
Can we talk about Alexis for a second here? And she made a big stink at almost every corner about the fact that the girls gang up on her and that everything that they said about her in Costa Rica, she went and spoke to her real friends and they said it wasn't true. They said that she wasn't phony. Do we think it's possible that just her friends might be phony also? Like birds with
feathers? Her only friends are Sarah, Jim, and Jesus. So, I mean, come on.
That's true. They're not gonna tell her anything else.
Yeah, there was kind of a throwaway line there because she said, I called everybody I know and asked them, am I like this? Am I like this? And Sarah goes, call? Who'd you call? Which I thought was really, really funny.
Well, Sarah's just learning about what a telephone is. She's like, I always use a paper cup and a piece of string. Call my mom in the other trailer. Mama, the beans are ready. Bring me a piece of fondant.
When you hear three jelly beans hit up the side of your trailer, you know it's time to come over for dinner, Ma.
Ma, I didn't hear the triangle yet. When does French fritters gonna be ready?
Sounds like she should be dating Brooks.
Brooks, when'd you get your teeth fixed? We don't have a dentist in this RV park.
You guys, why is Brianna so upset about this Brooks thing?
Because she is set to inherit Vicky's fucking fortune, and I wouldn't want some white trash dude from the bio spending my inheritance either.
Also, quite frankly, he's creepy. You know, even the way he went up to Gina, he's like, hey, I'm a hugger. Let's hug. I mean, come on now.
He is, but he's keeping your mom out of your apartment.
That's true, and she's probably less anxious.
And she's not calling you 20 times a day. I mean, you owe him something. How about a thank you card and a hug instead of derision, Brianna?
Do you think does Vicky have a leg to stand on when she talks about Eddie and Tamara running into marriage so quickly when she is like the sugar mama to this?
Are
this
you
guy?
Trying to transition smoothly into New York
to Aviva? No, although I would like to say that the Twitter account known as Aviva's Leg started following me today, and I appreciate that greatly.
Aviva's Leg.
Well, if we're going to start dropping names like that, well, I'll get to it at the end of the show. I'll save it as a little surprise, for our Twitter section.
Tune in. And by the way, the people who tweeted us questions, we will get to those at the end of the show. So you just have to sit and wait. Sorry.
But of course, Vicky's being a hypocrite. Of course. She's a total hypocrite.
She's always a hypocrite, right?
It's going to be really good at the reunion when she's got everybody yelling at her. That's going to be great.
I did like when Vicky did have a very funny line. She said something to Sarah. I think Sarah either said that she has a sugar problem or she has a problem with laziness. And Vicky goes, you don't have a sugar problem. You have a drinking problem.
That was in the confessional.
Yeah, she said, your problem isn't sugar. It's alcohol. That was good. I like that.
Before we move on, I have to ask two more questions because we did bring up Gina briefly, but what do we think about her faux apology with Tamara? Do we believe it's real? And more importantly, is there ever a chance of Gina coming back to the show?
I think there's a chance that she would come back. And I think actually the apology was real, but as real as it can be with these sort of bitches, because right afterwards, Gina had that backhanded comment. She's like, well, I don't know if it's as real as any of the other stupid shit that comes out of her mouth. So.
Well, because Tamara is the most awful, mean, horrible bitch ever to walk the face of the earth. So I understand where that came from Gina. I will say this.
Yeah, but I was on Tamara's side with that fight.
Ew.
Yeah,
no, don't even. We're not even going there.
I was.
This is what I will say, though. I just got an inkling, and I know that Bravo Andy was probably feeling it in his itty-bitty man parts, too. When Gina and Vicky had a moment there after not talking for a while, and we saw them reconnect, it's kind of what we always wanted for Jill and Bethany, kind of what we've always wanted for Nene and Kim.
Yeah.
Like, the thought of those two teaming up for next season, delicious.
Oh, I would love it. I mean, and also, when they reconnected there in that moment, you sort of realize these two are, like, the real deal. Like, these, like, it's like you just realize that Vicky's hanging out with these crazy, petty, younger bitches.
She needs to get with Gina, who's her own age, and they can get over their real estate problems, and then they can take the rest of these bitches out next year. That's 100%. My dream in life. That's my dream.
I'm totally behind that. And on that note, let's awkwardly transition to let's go to New Jersey first, because New Jersey had some major stuff going on as well. Do we not remember?
Jersey had a leg up on Orange County.
And a leg up on Aviva. Oh, snap. I thought I'd bring it back to the Aviva jokes. Miscarriages. Miscarriages!
That was a miscarriage of justice.
Can we talk about Fight Night 2012?
Yes.
On which one? On Jersey?
On Jersey. We're talking about
it's the beginning of the end. It's where, you know, last year when we watched that season finale and Jacqueline didn't show up, like, it's all, we're seeing where the beginning of the crumbling is happening.
Yeah, the crumbling is starting. The cookie is crumbling, and that's the way it happens, if I may get metaphorical. I have a question. Okay, let's set up this fight again. It's a little hazy in my mind. I don't know why it's hazy. I think it was so much that my mind blocked it out. Jacqueline seemed to be really bothered by all this tabloid stuff, but in a different way.
Drugs. Pills.
She was like on the verge of tears, and because she was like, well, you know, Teresa, she doesn't come to me. She's supposed to be my best friend. Do we think she was just drunk during this entire fight? I kind of thought she was.
She's always drunk. Like, she hides it a little bit better than some of the other women on these shows, but I will say she just is a caring, sweet dummy.
I think that she was only doing that to embarrass Teresa, because she knows Teresa does not want to talk about fucking bankruptcy on the show.
Right.
And she's bringing that up on purpose to, like, stab at Teresa and make Teresa go crazy and flip a fucking table, which she almost did. She's trying to play victim, you see, because now she's got stupid Caroline making her believe that the whole world hates Teresa, and they don't. I mean, the whole world is turning against these bitches, and it's hilarious reading Twitter.
I think the world is still against Teresa. I think there might be some backlash against Caroline, but I think...
No, Ben, you would be surprised. You know, Ronnie and I talked about this, like, secretly, America loves Teresa.
Well, she's hilarious. Like, she's a train wreck, but at least she's funny. Like, what's that show without her? Jackie...
Well, I think it's one of these, like, compartmentalized things where it's like, if you're in that situation, you look at her, you're like, oh, Teresa's awful, she's the worst. But then if you're looking at it as a show, a TV show, people are like, oh, well, you got to have Teresa. She's like...
Okay, but will you admit that the hatred for Caroline is rising? Like, she's not, like, off limits anymore because now she's just, like, a sour old bitch.
Yeah, I would say so. But I have to say, there's still... I kind of really enjoy when Caroline gets into fights because her method of fighting is so refreshing compared to everyone else on all these shows who just gets shrill and screams and doesn't say.
She has a unique tactic. I will give her that.
She's like quiet, and she's actually pretty articulate in these fights, which is like a crazy concept to be on a reality TV show. You know what I'm saying?
Well, can we talk about her not so stealth / staged entrance? Because it was
amazing.
The fucking funniest thing ever.
It was amazing. They were all – Teresa and Jacqueline were fighting. Jacqueline had gotten Teresa to the point where Teresa is screaming about – I don't even remember. What was Teresa screaming about at that point?
Jacqueline just kept repeating herself, and Teresa's trying to make everybody believe that she would never say anything to a magazine. They just made it all up.
So Teresa is screaming, and it actually did sort of seem like they were about to hit a breakthrough. And then out of nowhere – comes Miss Caroline Manzo, who's
she had to return Jacqueline's kids' swimsuits at 9 p.m.
Yeah, and then but the best thing is, it's like they're so loud, so loud, so loud. Then all of a sudden, Caroline walks in and goes, Why are you yelling?
It's one of my favorite Housewives moments.
Ready to start shit. To me, that was like a Countess Luann sort of move. You know how Countess Luann always seems to appear once the yelling starts?
Yes, and with her glasses on top of her coif. I mean, she was ready to go.
She looked like she had just walked through a car wash, and she had just been in the most humid place on earth, and she was now ready to fight. Her hair was flat.
With half a coffee. I like that, too. It's like, what? What are you yelling about, huh? And then she sits down and starts calling Teresa fake. You know, fuck Caroline, calling anybody fake. And on her way out, when Caroline's like, nice bag.
I like that personally. It was petty, but I liked it.
Look, Caroline is just so bitter because Teresa has her sister Dina. Well, she has Caroline's sister Dina on her side, and clearly it is making Caroline go fucking insane.
But Teresa also got her sons in trouble with the law down in the Dominican Republic. I just think there's a lot more that's going on. I feel like I empathize with Caroline. I see where her anger is coming from because she has to deal with this moron, Teresa. I understand Teresa is like a more interesting reality TV character for sure, but I'm still on Team Caroline. I'm on
Team
Anti.
Yeah, but to watch season one, okay, to watch that at home, that you've just all been through this season, and then to come back on the show and be 100% Team Teresa after seeing what an asshole she is and how much she ruined everything and lied constantly, you get what you deserve. Yeah. Like, you come back and you're sure to be as close to the most popular one as you can, and then you turn on her when you think that you can get everybody else on the show on your side, and no one cares. The camera's only caring about Teresa. Nothing else is working. I mean, we're going to watch Jacqueline and her stupid fucking daughter.
You know, I don't think it's as cut and dry as that, because the truth is that Caroline was one of the most popular cast members originally, and people really liked her. But then all this Giudice drama took over, and now Teresa is sort of like the hero, the villain that everyone sort of loves to hate. You know,
well, so can I don't we just think she was we, calculated. We I don't know
and
about
this
that.
Was also,
but
I think this was also being taped while the other last season was airing. I think there's a lot of it's hard to say. There are a lot of weird things going on.
That's a good point, because there is a lot of like overlap, I believe, with this one, which we've never really seen before. I feel like Bravo was like, we are onto some hot shit. Keep those cameras rolling, even if we have to pay them more. Mm-hmm. And I think that is definitely making their interactions a hell of a lot more awkward this year. But I will also say, like, you know, as much as I love Kathy, I know it took me forever to get on board, and like Melissa and I want to party with her, and like Joe, they were not part of this episode whatsoever. So is the only thing that this show needs to survive Teresa?
No, you know, I'm going to say no to that, because there was a time when we all thought that when Danielle was off the show, we're like, well, how is this show going to continue? You know what? These are a crazy bunch of mooks, okay? And there will always have some stupid drama, okay? You get rid of Teresa, there's a brand new idiot ready to grow in her place, okay? You put Kim D in there. You put Kim G, Kim P, Kim A, B, C, D, E. I'm rhyming.
Yeah,
this is great.
True.
I'm like in a flow.
Yeah, you are. You're totally crackering out over there.
Yeah,
go
that's
ahead.
Great.
Cracker rap.
Cracker rap. honestly, they could probably sub in some of Melissa's sisters. You know, Lissy.
I hate Melissa and her sisters.
Oh, I like Melissa.
And see, this is what I'm confused about. They're talking about Teresa like the villain, and like you said, she's getting the villain edit. But Teresa obviously doesn't know it. And I feel like when you're getting the villain edit, you kind of know. Because doesn't it always seem like everyone's defensive when they're the villain? And Teresa is still acting like she's Lucille Ball. We're like Lucille or whatever.
Okay, but she's more retarded than anybody ever on this show. Even more than Alexis. You have to admit that.
Yeah, she is probably the most.
But I think it's backfiring, and she's actually becoming more entertaining. Because these women are talking about her like she's Satan. She's like, what?
Well, she's entertaining, but she's awful. She's entertaining in her awfulness, which is perfect for a reality star. But it's like, I don't like her as a person, though, at all. Like, I think she's
I don't
awful.
Like any of them. I mean, look at Melissa, okay? They're like, Melissa. And she's like, oh, it's a hula hoop. I'm in a halter top outside the house, shaking my ass for the camera. That's what I'm doing. It's a natural day. It's what we do in hula. Shut the fuck up, you whore. You're a whore. And then her sister with her bad ponytail weave to look just like Melissa.
But
and her new fake little round boobs. They are pathetic. Those people are so disgusting.
I thought what was really funny was that clearly the sisters were like, we're going to get dressed up because we're going to be on camera. And that one sister did something to her hair where it was like shiny and curly. It could not have looked any trashier, any more like Lita.
That's fancy for them.
I know, it's very fancy. It's like they're going to go.
Those women are fucking hideous. And then you've got Midget Joe with his stone dazed, completely wide,
whatever.
Like he's just been in a bombed school. Like he just looks confused and bombed out all the time.
Whatever.
They're like, hey, you want to, go to therapy. Yeah, call Teresa. Text Teresa. Teresa. That poor guy doesn't know what.
Are you seriously expecting something more high level than that on this show?
And they're going bankrupt.
What?
They're going bankrupt.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know that, right? Have you heard about that? Supposedly, they owe $2.5 million on their mortgages, and that's why they're selling everything they own, and they're about to go bankrupt, too. Suckers!
Are you kidding me?
That's what the current gossip mill.
That is going to make for the juiciest shit ever. Yeah, I can't wait for Teresa to write them a card. Sure. When she's like, oh, enjoy your new house. Like, and it's really like a cardboard box.
Enjoy your redone finances.
Well, someone posted in the comments on Jersey a link to I forget where this article was, but it was so vile and wonderful. But it was blind items before the season started, and it was Jersey, where you have to guess the person. But they didn't say it was for New Jersey. They just said, here are some blind items for the cast of an upcoming reality season. And it was like family members joined the show pretending they're rich, but in reality, one's a hairdresser and one pumps gas at a gas station. Which is the Wachilles.
Yeah.
And then one was sister-in-law comes on the show, and there's a family feud between her and another cast member. The problem is it's because she slept with the cast member's husband, which would be Melissa. It was so juicy. Ooh. I wish I had the link to tell you guys about it. But the other ones I think were pretty boring. But
by the way, I don't think the Wachilles pretend like they're rich. I think they always are portrayed as more like middle class, upper middle class.
Yeah, their house has siding on the front.
Yeah, and it's like, there's no marble columns, so don't get it twisted, okay?
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe
Ronnie, please put down your other electronical devices. You're starting to sound like a robot.
He's a robot. Was anyone else utterly amused every time Teresa said, hey, once you do bankruptcy, you start over. I don't think do bankruptcy is a proper expression.
It is when you say it 10 times. Ronnie, you really hammer it.
I apologize to the listeners who have to hear Robot Ronnie right now.
You need to edit that shit.
Is it still bad?
No. Say what you just said before.
No, I forgot.
Anyway, we're gonna do bankruptcy and have fun.
Am I still robotic?
You're better now.
You're back from Skynet. little Terminator humor for the podcast. Didn't see that one coming.
Sorry, everybody. The future is now, all you guys.
Does anyone have any last thoughts on New Jersey before we go to New York City? No.
The Gorgas are horrible people. Stop falling for it.
I love the Gorgas and the Wachilles.
And I just can't wait for the return of Dina.
Yeah, we're all excited. Okay, so New York City, it wasn't a lot of drama.
Boring. I hate it.
But I'm entertained. The three new women aren't the best. But you know what, though? I'm really enjoying this Aviva lady quite a bit.
Why?
Even though she stirs the pot, I don't know. She says funny things.
She's not that funny. All she does is kiss everybody's ass, and I just kind of want her other leg to get chopped off.
Well, that would be her.
God, she'll just be crawling around the streets of New York City.
That's a really severe.
Still stirring shit up.
She'll be like, so I heard you found my leg. I heard that Ramona took my leg. No, here's the thing with Aviva. She said some funny things, and I feel really bad saying this. Okay, I'm just gonna say this will sound very politically incorrect. I'm aware that she lost her leg, and it's a terrible thing that had to happen to her, and of course it must be scarring. But I thought it was really funny when she said, well, having lost my leg conveyor belt, I now have a fear of being trapped in other machinery.
That was hysterical.
Hysterical.
It was such a bizarre thing to say, and it made total sense for her, but like, what a line.
But it's kind of the same thing what, like we were talking about before on the miscarriage. Like, we get it. Your leg was chopped off. We don't need to hear about it every fucking time we see you. Stop it.
She must be very afraid to go onto farms now.
Or what does she do when she's getting her groceries bagged?
Like, I don't know.
Just freak out every time.
She must run as far as she can. Every time.
Hey, guys. I actually got my pinky finger caught in the grocery conveyor belt when I was a child and had to have the rescue squad bust open the machine to save my pinky.
This explains so much about you.
Well, good. Now you can raise it every time you drink a damn Diet Coke. They sure did us a service.
Can we talk about Sonia and her brand?
please. Okay.
So, I don't know where to even start. Let's talk about Sonia in the City, her new party planning.
Right. Service. How original is that?
And how current?
How, like, yes.
How long ago was Sex in the City canceled?
Well, that the last time Sonia could afford to go shop for things for her house or for herself is when Sex and the City started in 1998.
Yeah, she hasn't paid the cable bill in 10 years. She has no idea what's on TV anymore. She's gonna like.
She doesn't realize that True Blood's on, and she could call it True Sonia.
It was either that or Murder She Sonia'd. She's like, my She's brand like, is called Defining Sonia.
She loves it so much.
I'm gonna pee.
She's like, actually, I just paid the cable bill. I'm so excited to see what Alf is up to these days.
Mac, get out yet?
I hope he hasn't eaten that cat. You know, that cat is a lovely cat. Lucky. You know, the Iconics, they're very nosy.
Oh my god. So what is her fucking brand? She's gonna have toasters.
So, okay, well, she has two things. She has an umbrella, okay? There's the Sonia brand umbrella. Okay. And you know, knowing her, she's probably gonna come out with umbrellas to represent her umbrella, okay? Like the Sonia umbrella. So how do we envision a party that has been organized by Sonia in the City? How do we think a party will play out? What will it be like?
It'll be her flashing her vag in a Marie Antoinette costume.
And everyone's going to get like a piece of toast.
With three boots on the side because she fucked some guy to get a free case of Champs.
Anything that goes wrong, she's going to be like, that would have been proper, but Hurricane Irene fucked it all up.
Yeah. Well, she's going to book every party in someone's basement, okay? Where there'll be like some like cobwebs everywhere. She's like, well, you know, after Hurricane Irene, all the spiders moved in. They needed to run away from all the water. So they came here. You know, we got to fix it.
Then she'll do a burlesque dance while eating a chicken skewer, and we'll call it a big deal.
And by the way, and could her toaster not sound any more like bizarre? You know, she's saying, well, and so like poorly formed also. She's like, well, we're working on the toaster. You know, we got a crumb tray now. Congratulations, you got a crumb tray. I never heard about that in a toaster.
It's got a three-tier toaster. She's like, it's got three tiers and a crumb tray.
She's making the bird. When she said crumb tray, I shit my pants. Yeah.
She's making the Burj Dubai of toaster ovens right now. Okay, this thing's gonna be taller than anything you've ever seen, and it's gonna have a crumb tray on every tier.
That You're way, not gonna you be able to fit anything in there. What, how are you gonna get a French bread pizza in that goddamn thing?
Well, there's definitely room for a BlackBerry.
It's gonna be the size. You know what? She's so dumb. It's gonna be the size of like a regular oven, and then she's gonna realize she's actually designed an oven, not a toaster oven. She's like, it's so big, you could fit two chickens in it. You just have to preheat it for 10 minutes. That's all. That's okay. 10 minutes. You know what you could do? You could go and try to empty out one of the buckets of Hurricane Irene water that's flowing in your living room. No big deal.
And well, actually, I love it. Heather's going to design the entire thing, and then Sonya's going to make the money on it, just like Kim and Tardy for the Party and Candy Get Screwed.
Could you imagine?
Totally.
Could you imagine if Sonia organized Heather's party? there would be no cake, first of all.
I would like Sonia to have designed Heather's father's funeral.
Oh my god. I know. I wish we could just transfer all the plot lines from each show onto the next ones.
Oh, that would be great. It would just be like a bunch of little mini pizzettes, you know? That's all that would be happening. Well, we got some pizzettes, and what are those people saying that other language? Meatball? Something like that?
You nutcases.
So,
oh my God.
So anyway, what is Sonia's thing? Because they're like, oh, you have an umbrella for all of your different brands. So she's going to have toaster ovens, and then she's going to – isn't her party planning thing something more than just party planning? Isn't it some kind of special –
Well, it's consultation. I think she'll consult on, like, the lighting and the decoration and
well,
the music
wait,
and the
I
food,
mean,
the menu.
She used to fuck doormen so she could eat free at fancy restaurants. So she is a food expert as a result.
Here's my thing. I don't know if I want my menu consultant to have her big claim to fame is that she knows how to make some things in a toaster oven, okay? Like, I don't want French bread pizza and Hot Pockets at my party.
That's probably what
actually,
they
wait,
serve.
I take that back. I actually would like that quite a bit.
Well, that coming next week of showing Ramona finally losing it, and saying that Sonia's a bimbo and an airhead and she's over it. Ooh.
Wait, how juicy was it when Ramona made the dig in her confessional about, like, well, I hope she didn't spend $7 million on it, like her stupid fucked up film business. Well,
oh, my God.
She said something about it being like a $7 million pad or something like that. Or I don't know. But I enjoyed watching both Ramona and Heather give Sonia business advice because I felt like it was, you did get to hear them in like their professional hats, you know, and it seemed like they were legit. But it was funny watching Sonia attempting to absorb any of this information as she writes down like some basic words on a piece of newspaper, you know?
Yeah, she's basically just smiling cross-eyed, like kind of tilting her head like in that drunken bobble-headed way. Just like, you know, so do you know a lovely graphic designer? Oh, good, good.
She is a drunk rooster.
Yeah. I kind of like how her logo just looks like it says Songe. So it reminds me of like, you know, Solange, which you know, I think
Solange Knowles.
I think Sonia and Solange Knowles should go into business together.
That's a business.
That would be a whole lot of business that I'd want to get involved. That's a party I want planned.
Will she be planning Luann's baby shower? Oh.
Oh, my God. Okay, Luann, really? We get that you have children. Please stop trying to make us believe that you're a good mother. My cousin was visiting from out of town, and she, of course, had to sit here and watch it with me. And she's kind of texting on her phone, ignoring it, rolling her eyes the whole time. And she looked up at the scene with the daughter, and she goes, she looks like she doesn't even know that girl. Is this supposed to be her mother? Because this is the worst acting I've ever seen.
Well, she kept calling her Angie, and I thought her name was Victoria, but... Well,
yeah, she probably doesn't remember her daughter's name.
She's like, Noelle has grown up so much over the past few years. And it's like, yeah, this is probably the first time she's seen him in the past 4 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's been at
and
boarding
she's
school.
Like, oh, you're on a skateboard. Whoa, you're good. Whoa. Yeah, you've never seen him on a skateboard before.
I did like her. I liked it when she got on the skateboard. You know, she thought she was so hip when she did that. You know. She's like, now let's skateboard en français.
Okay, how old is she, and do her eggs still work?
No.
First of all, she doesn't have eggs. She has croissants in there, okay? And they're baked fresh every single day in the French fry.
I had a dried acai berry that looks more fertile than her eggs.
Well, to be fair, she did say that she believes that fertile myrtle has gone out to pasture. So at least she's like not in total denial.
Okay,
like
well, she can easily buy a baby with Jacques's money.
Yeah, and the count's money too. She can buy it with everyone's money.
She's still got the crates left over from her own kids.
She'll feed it alcohol and put it in the bushes, and then act like, you know, the kid just snuck in there.
And then tell people that Ramona's blackmailing her when Ramona's telling the truth about her being a terrible mother.
God, Ramona. Watching Ramona get sidelined by the new ladies is pretty wonderful, I have to say.
What do you think about Carol? Carol hitting on Mario.
I wanted her to swipe the bread and the salt and pepper off that table and fuck Mario on that table right in front of Ramona.
She would have.
Ew. And Ramona probably would have, like, taken pictures and tweeted them out there. Ramona looked like she was kind of trying to make that happen, right?
Yeah, I think actually Ramona.
I'm a sharer. I share things. I'm honest and I share. I share. I like to share. I'm sorry if you don't like to hear it, but I like to share.
I think that Ramona likes it when people think her husband is hot, actually. I don't think she gets jealous or territorial. I think she actually feels proud.
Ugh, that's just so gross. Look, we've grossed everybody out.
I know. Let's talk about miscarriages again. Let's talk about Luann having a croissant miscarriage.
I think Carol's a little disturbing, frankly. She's starting to creep me out the way
she's starting to.
Yeah, she had some funny lines, but seriously, the way she talks about the subway in downtown.
I have aunts and uncles who were crazy. Like, we're supposed to believe you're like 15 and your only frame of reference is the old people in your family. Shut up, lady.
I know. I mean, come on. She is the crypt keeper.
She is. She is very, like, modern day weaved out. Oh, did you guys see the picture of her and Steven Tyler next to each other?
No. Yes. But at least she admitted that they look like twins, which is what I feel like would be what it looks like.
They really do. Seeing them next to each other like that. She makes Steven Tyler look like young, fresh, and fertile.
Oh, wow.
Now there's a girl who can get pregnant.
What would be more impressive is if she could make Steven Tyler look like a male again.
That's true.
Apparently, Aviva's a fan of everybody.
I mean,
is this a strawberry milkshake?
I mean, she's like, do you think that she smokes 10 cartons of cigarettes a day?
Should I have a beer?
That's what the rock stars do.
I'm no Peter Jennings.
I'm going to have a Heineken.
Matt, when you did it sounded sexual.
I can't do the impressions like you guys, and it just came out so wrong.
It was like, we're like, and you're like, oh, I'm going to.
I hate you both. I hate you.
Well, okay. Our impression isn't even good. It's really stupid.
Our impression is bad. It's creepy on its own.
I'm Carol. I'm a friend who owns a bar on top of the hotel.
We're changing topics because I'm probably nervous now.
Don't call me Carol-y just because there's an E at the end of my name.
Don't call me. I'm not like a Christmas Carol, even though I'm sort of spelled like that.
Even though I'm like the past and the future all rolled into one.
Even though I was born in the time of Charles Dickens.
Okay.
Than my Gretchen impression. Hi, I'm Gretchen. Hi, I'm Gretchen. I date Slade.
My favorite is when you do Marlo. Come on. Marlo and Sheree in Africa.
Oh, my Marlo and Sheree. My Marlo and Sheree is really weird. It always sounds strange whenever I try to do it. It's always like a rah-rah-rah sound. I don't know what's wrong with me. That's just the way it comes out.
Last note about New York. What do we think about Heather inviting some of the ladies, not all of the ladies, to a trip to London? Was this like really going to happen, or was Bravo like, we're already bored 2 episodes in, somebody stir the pot?
Well, I love that she didn't invite Luann or Ramona, and it looks like next week she changes her mind and at least invites Luann, and I think that was probably producer-driven. Wow. Because, of course, Heather would be the fucking type to be like, oh, we're new, well, let's take it over.
Yeah, and exactly, and by the way, and Aviva, once again, stirring the pot by looking to Ramona and being like, you were invited, right? Right. To be fair, I have to say their little like brunch / drinks on top of the hotel, that looked like a super fun day. I'm not gonna lie, I wish I was there.
Because it was a brunch that started late and then it rolled into more cocktails. I mean, that is every gay boy's dream.
It was not only that, it, like the sun set during their brunch. It was nighttime by the time brunch was over.
And you know how you know how Aviva's like scared of being in planes and elevators and tall buildings? Yeah. Does she not sound like the biggest pain in the fucking ass ever?
Well, she does.
Yeah,
she does.
But while we're on her, let me just tell you this. I think it's also fucked up that some of these women show their naked babies in a bathtub on TV.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like to see naked babies.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah,
I think it's just—I think it's wrong.
Full frontal. We just saw like prepubescent girl nip. That's all.
Ew.
I just think it's gross. I just don't think that parents should do that. I think it's just inappropriate. If you grew up and you were that child, you would be mortified.
I would be uncomfortable with having family bath time being recorded by any TV cameras, and that's sort of what happened a little bit. And by the way, it sort of struck me as odd when Aviva said that she was a full-time mom. I hadn't really thought about it before, but it sort of shocked me. She doesn't seem like a full-time mom. She seems actually like not like one of those annoying mommy types. You know, maybe
no,
like,
she was another one that her kids did not seem to know who the fuck she was. She was like, "Hey, come here, it's the bad luck, it's a bubble," and he was like, "Oh, who's this lady?"
Well, maybe that's because she's renamed them all like 5 times. You know?
Oh my God, how fucked up was that?
I mean, oh yeah, what did she change her name? I forgot
like
all
from
about
Harrison,
that.
Harrison, right? It was like, was it like from Harrison to Brandon to
no, like
Henry?
To like Hent? No, Dune? I don't know. No, like,
hey, Dune, get over here.
Like Houston or Hudson or
Hudson,
some shit.
Hudson, yeah, it went to Hudson.
Well, and so the daughter's name is Sienna, and too bad that's locked in.
And then she was almost gonna change that up, but she, you know, again, she made like jokes about it, like in the interviews, she like made self-deprecating jokes, sort of like acknowledging that she's a crazy woman.
I do like that she admits that she's crazy. I do enjoy
that. I appreciate that. That's like a really big step because there are a lot who don't truly understand that.
No, she's Teresa, not saying it like Alexis. I'm fucking insane and I need help. She's saying it like I'm crazy. Like in that,
just,
I'm the
just,
life of the party.
You
where
just
it's
turned
like,
her,
no, bitch, you crazy.
You just turned her into Michigan J. Frog, by the way.
Ah, hello, I'm honey. I'm crazy.
Okay, so let's move on to some odds, some Bravo odds and ends. So there's some other TV, believe it or not, there are other TV shows aside from The Housewives.
Lay gasp.
It's shocking.
For did instance, you guys watch Misadvised?
You know, I recorded it. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. Did you guys see it?
No. Did you watch it, Matt?
I am boycotting. I fell off like during the last season of Patty Stanger, like Millionaire Matchmaker, and I just want Bravo to stop trying. Like, it's just a genre that they – Patty is fine, but like, stop.
Well, here's the –
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I'm so sorry. I was just going to say, I think it looks kind of cute. I just have to draw a line. I'm watching too much reality right now.
No such thing.
I had no plans really to watch it, but then I was watching Housewives of New York, and then I caught like the first like 2 minutes of Misadvised, and I got sort of sucked in. And I was like, oh, this looks like it actually could be kind of entertaining. So I recorded it. And by the way, Ronnie, you know that Nads?
Yeah, Nads. I was just gonna say we should watch it because Nads is one of the producers on that show.
Nads is on. Is she still writing for TVgasm?
Yeah, she still runs the news section.
Yeah, so she runs that part of TVgasm. So we should watch it just to support her and her hard work. And it's also her birthday this week.
Yeah, I eventually will watch it. I love my Nads, and she said this one's good. And she's usually pretty honest about. She said the first one was maybe a little slow, but then it picks up.
Okay, and now, Matt, speaking of how there are no Housewives, there are other shows other than Housewives shows, there are Housewives spinoff shows. You watched the Tardy for the Party wedding?
I really didn't watch it because I was crying the entire time.
Crying
because
you were so happy it was
ending? Because you were an adult man watching Kim Zolciak get married?
What happened?
Ronnie pretty much just summed it up very well there. Like, yeah, that was my Thursday night. I'm an adult man sitting alone in my rented apartment in Hollywood.
Carbs.
Don't quit on the air. Save it till after.
Anyway, I will just say this. It was an hour as opposed to a half hour. It was incredibly juicy. The ratings were through the roof. So Kim Zolciak will continue to not only be an Atlanta housewife, she will definitely... Well, for the hour special, I mean, the first half was really focusing on getting ready for the wedding. And then, you know, I bawled when Croy walked out with KJ in his arms. And then, you know, he cried when Kim walked out and it was an emotional moment. And I'm totally embarrassed. But it really got juicy because her mom, Kim's mom, got drunk and crazy with her sister, meaning Kim's aunt, at the wedding. And then Kim threw them out with security. Threw her mother and father out of her own fucking wedding.
She threw them out because they got in a fight. Wasn't it about the bathrooms or something?
Okay, so there was a rule that nobody was allowed into the house, not one person except, like, Kim and Croy, and Kim's mom broke into the house with her aunt to pee, and then they started screaming, and Kim's mom is such an idiot, because let's be honest, Croy is paying for this whole shebang, pretty much. Like, if Kim loses Bravo and Croy stops paying, like, Kim's parents are out of the money, too, so... She actually was telling Croy to go fuck himself, and then she forgot that she had a mic pack on, and she's being all drunk with her sister, and they're cursing both of them out. Okay. And then Kim had to kick them out of the wedding.
But, you know, Kim really shouldn't kick them out of the wedding, because Kim should realize that's Kim. You know, Kim is the one who will be drunk at weddings peeing in prohibited areas, you know?
No kidding. That's what makes me crazy about Kim Zolciak. When did she become so fucking classy?
Yeah. She's the
one who makes me crazy.
Yeah, she's the queen of being inappropriate and all that crap.
Yeah. I don't approve, Kim Z. I don't approve. Oh, and also, who has a wedding and then makes their guests piss in porta potties? That's fucking disgusting.
They were $5,000 porta potties. They were
whatever. A shit box is a shit box.
I didn't know that you were a
don't have it. Don't have it in your backyard and then keep your house closed. That's just cheap at that point.
Exactly. She's like, I'm going to get a huge mansion, but no one can come in here because God forbid I paid for a maid tomorrow. Jesus Christ, Kim.
So we're sort of running out of time. Does anyone want to talk about Million Dollar Listing?
Well, I think that our fans and our listeners out there, they are watching it this season. It is getting a little juicy. I will say that people should, you know, I think people should bother to check it out. I will forever miss Chad and Stubbs Starly Cakes, but
Chad with the Beatles hair. I love that guy.
Yes, Chad with the Beatles hair.
His head looked like one of those guys on Super Mario Brothers with the shell, the black shell, that you can't, like, I don't know, you can't, like, step on and kick. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like one of the ones that suddenly poured, like, they changed the rules and that mushroom poisons you. So here's the thing that really made me mad with Bravo this week. They've changed the name of Million Dollar Listing to Million Dollar Listing LA, so my TiVo didn't just automatically record it.
I hate when they do that.
And I'm the worst at programming that. I'm never going to think – I mean, even after this, like once this is over, I'm not going to think, oh, I really need to go on there and search with the TiVo remote, Million Dollar List. I'm never going to watch it now.
No. Well, but, no, I'm just going to say this. It's getting really, really juicy because Madison is fighting with co-star Josh Altman because Madison's assistant Heather is now sleeping with him, and it's getting, like, extra salacious. So I really do suggest people check it out.
I will tune in. I haven't watched the show in a few seasons, but I'll tune in because that sounds juicy.
From what you said before the show when I asked you about it, the big fight was that the girl is stealing information from Josh Altman and giving it to Madison, right?
No, other way around. She's stealing it from Madison, giving it to Josh.
How dare she? I was going to say I'm so proud of her for staying a true hag, but fuck her.
Yeah, fuck her.
You know, it's she is being fucked. I do think that, you know, I'm Team Madison in this case, but, you know, he still creeps me out too, but I'm just kind of sitting there watching and everybody's gross.
Yeah. I can't be on someone's team who wears shorts to work. I just can't do that.
What if he was in Bermuda? What then?
Well, but $20 million, he's like, here's a $20 million house on the beach. We have to hurry because I'm in shorts and it's going to get cold in about an hour because we're in Malibu. It's like, shut up. Put on some fucking clothes. Are you kidding me? Go to a speech therapist. You make a good living.
Okay. So we're running out of time. So let's address some of the Twitter questions that have come into us on Twitter.
Can I tell you something really exciting? So, like, this is not really exciting, but last night I went crazy and did a Amazon shopping spree, and I ended up buying Mary McDonald's design book. She's one of the people on Million Dollar Decorators, my favorite show in the history of television. Uh-huh. And I tweeted her, and I said, well, now that I bought your book, I should get, like, a free consult when I buy my house or whatever. And she retweeted me, and she was like, ugh, maybe I'll buy you a drink, but that's it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is she the Irish? She's the one that's like hyper, right?
She's the raven-haired Karen. Yeah.
I hope they bring that show back. I like that show, actually.
They are. Season 2 is coming back July, August.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's do some Twitter questions.
Okay, from Fat Camp, which is the best Twitter name ever. Bueller, don't eat that. Fat Camp says, I wonder if any of the housewives know what an adverb is.
No.
That's not really a question.
They don't know what an adverb is. They don't know what a verb is. And they also don't know what the word ad means. Okay. Their vocabulary is very limited. Okay.
They're like, why do verbs need an ad?
Why do you?
Trying to sell?
Fat Camp, why are you taking this so serious? Okay. Why are you taking this so serious?
Be careful or you're going to have to do bankruptcy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Rexter Slade asks, with the way – this is a good one. With the way things stand now, how likely is Bravo to cut the Monzo family out of season 5? Very.
Not, not going to happen.
Yeah.
I say very. I think I think this is going to be a repeat of New York, where they all ganged up. Jill Zarin got a team to go against the people she didn't like, and she was the one who ended up getting kicked off.
These people are still have way more likable qualities to them than a lot of the women who were kicked off.
I disagree with you, Ben. I kind of dislike all of them, but for some fucked up reason, Bravo can't get beyond the amazing saga known as Lauren Manzo's weight problem, and that will forever be the arc of every season going forward.
I love
that
arc.
As someone who struggles with their weight, even I'm like, oh, shut up, you fat bitch! You know,
thank you. I agree.
By the
it
way,
makes me crazy. I'm just gonna eat healthy. And who the fuck is Caroline to give you a dirty look for eating a fruit cup?
Oh yeah,
fuck off, Caroline.
Chubby Wubby or something like that. By the way, I could not have wanted pizza any more than that scene when they were all sitting there eating pizza. I felt like Lauren Manzo being deprived at that moment. Ugh, I wanted pizza so badly.
I felt jealous too, especially of Big Gay Greg for being this big, self-confident guy eating like that on TV and in a Speedo. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm mashing days up in my head. Sorry.
No, it's my earphones fell out, so I got lost. I got lost, guys. How about the next question?
Just someone asking if we noticed that Sharon Osbourne and Caroline are starting to look alike.
That is mean to Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. That's rough. She's had a rough week. We don't need to add insult to injury.
Sharon Osbourne has?
Yeah, because Jack revealed that he has MS.
You know, the first thing I did was Google, does marijuana cause MS? Isn't that terrible? But I suddenly got worried for my own health. I was like, oh my God, did he get that from just smoking too much pot? But it turns out, no, it doesn't.
Okay. I love that the housewives make us, reassess our health issues.
They make me reassess a lot of things, let's be honest. I reassess my self-worth, my finances.
I've pretty much just given up. Just given up. I just stopped assessing. I've given up. An ass assessing makes an ass out of E and
singing.
C.
Singing. Makes E-N-C. An ass out of singing.
Okay. Well, that was a good one. Pass it along, you guys. Assess an ass out of E and C.
So
didn't our biggest fan Tammy post something as well?
Tammy?
Oh. She did? Not a question, though, right?
Who's Tammy?
More of a comment.
Tammy Knickerbocker?
Not Tammy Knickerbocker.
That Tammy's pretty cute. Let me see.
Wanted us to just admit that Bogate during OC was kind of delicious
Bogate.
Thing ever.
Oh, yeah. That Tammy. Yeah,
and she was right. Bogate was pretty great. And I love that it's going to continue into next week. The Sarah chapter is over, okay? I am bored with you.
I honestly love the way that Heather handled it. She was sort of like, it's a combination of condescending mother and bitchy prom queen.
Right, when she was like, go sit in the corner and get a hold of yourself, otherwise you can just leave.
She does seethe really well. She seethes well.
I will give her that.
Yeah, it helps that she has hamster face. Man, you don't want to piss off a hamster.
No. Sarah,
you'll lose
the
pinky.
Oops. My cake and ate it.
I have a question. It's not from Twitter. Are you guys still bothering with that piece of shit Around the World in 80 Plates? What a bomb that was.
Even I've stopped. No. I was liking it, and even I've stopped.
Bravo spent a fortune on that show, and it is not performing.
Because you know what? The format, it could have been so great.
You guys, has Curtis Stone ever been on a successful show? Why do they keep putting him on TV shows?
He's the worst. But he's objectively the worst. He looks kind of like a Muppet, and he's an asshole. So.
I'm sorry. Cat Cora is not that good.
But they don't give her anything to do.
I'm sorry. Her personality is like that of a piece of jicama. I mean,
She is like a fondant bow that has been half broken off by a crazy white trash woman with a diabetic problem.
Here's an Oreo.
Okay, so we need to wrap this up. We want to thank everyone for listening. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for the questions. Tweet at us again throughout the week, and we will try to address your questions next week, too.
Yep, follow us at What Crappens, or you can follow us individually. I'm at Life on the M List.
I'm at TV Gasm.
I'm at B-Side Blog.
And don't forget to check out some of our other fellow podcasts on the Sideshow Network. Thank you, Sideshow Network.
TV. All right, so thanks everyone for listening. And I'm just going to give a shout out to KLH Turner on Twitter, who just tweeted 7 minutes ago saying that she's very excited for the podcast. Well, here it is. I hope you enjoyed it.
Sweet. Enjoy. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Toodles, poodles.
Don't forget to go to Gamefly.com/haha and get your 15-day trial from Gamefly. They have over 7,000 tiles to choose from for all game systems and handhelds. No late fees, free shipping, cancel anytime. That's Gamefly.com/haha to get your free 15-day trial. Gamefly. Games delivered.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudeen posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny, and I love you.